Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. At 8 o'clock this morning, teachers, students, and community supporters joined picket lines in front of City College of San Francisco campuses throughout San Francisco. After a year of failed negotiations, the American Federation of Teachers 2121 called for a one-day strike. It's the first faculty strike in the union's three-decade history at CCSF. The issues concerning faculty and students include unfair labor practices and a plan to cut 26% of classes over the next few years. So today we are talking about the issues at stake and how they can be resolved. Joining me in studio are three guests. Union President Tim Killikelly says we are striking for the City College San Francisco deserves. Tim teaches political science, and he has been a teacher at CCSF since 1997. And Tim joins me in studio. Hi, Tim. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate coming on the show. It means a lot to us.
Well, thank you for joining us. We're also joined by Alan Fisher, a CCSF faculty member. He teaches English as a second language, and he's been at City College of San Francisco for 35 years, and he's a former union president, and Alan also joins us in studio. Hi, Alan. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting us.
And Rosario Villasana is a CCSF child development instructor. She has been at CCSF since 1987, and thank you, Rosario, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having our voice reach a little further today.
Well, we reached out to CCSF administration and invited Chancellor Susan Lamb. They said that they were not available, but they gave us a statement. CCSF's attorney says the strike is illegal and ill-advised, and we will talk about that throughout the show. But first off, Tim Killikelly, you're the union president. It's the first time the union decided to strike in its three-decade history. What happened? Why did it come down to this?
This is, you know, going on strike is something that we don't take lightly. It's something that's a very, very serious thing, and we understand the gravity of that. And so it's not something we've undertaken lightly. But there does come a point when all the things that have happened and then the district's bad faith negotiations, that we've had enough. And that it's the impact of what they've done to the college and to the faculty over the last several years has been dramatic. So, for example, we are now paid 3.5% less than we were in 2007. And they have put a proposal on the table that will only raise our salaries 1.5% above 2007 salaries. Essentially, what they're doing is they're asking us to take a bonus. Also, when they came to us, and this is really critical for us too, they have put on the table a proposal to us that said, we are going to cut the classes by 26% over a six-year period. And so the college is at this crossroads. What is it going to do? Is it going to go down the road of cutting a program by 26%? The city isn't 26% smaller. It's not going to be meeting the needs of the community. In terms of the faculty salaries, are they going to let us remain at the bottom of the Bay Area, the Bay 10 in community college salaries? This is not going to be, in the long run, attract quality faculty to competitive salaries. So they have their whole approach is this sort of very narrow approach, and they need to change the direction of what they're doing. They need to think about how the college is going to grow after the accreditation crisis, and part of that is to provide adequate salaries. What we are asking for is consistent with what other folks in the Bay Area, other community colleges around the state have gotten. So it's not unreasonable what we are asking at all. And I think what's really most gratifying to us is the support we've seen from students. The Students Executive Council, Associated Students Executive Council, voted in a resolution supporting our strike today. Today, the president of the Board of Supervisors, I just came from John Adams campus. She was on the picket line with us this morning. So we have tremendous community support. We have tremendous student support. And I think that's why actually they closed the college today. Instead of saying, okay, let's see what will happen, they see the tremendous support that we have, and they decided that they thought the best strategy was to just close it down for the day.
Mm-hmm. That is Union President Tim Kelly. He teaches political science. He's been a teacher at City College of San Francisco since 1997. Alan Fisher is a former union president, teaches English as a second language. He's been teaching there for 35 years. And Alan, why did you decide to go on strike today?
We need to have this strike. You know, I've been at City College for 35 years. We've always had a somewhat to very harmonious relationship with administration. But now we are with an administration that has built up the reserve funding to the tune of $60 million, 28% of our budget. And they've done it on the backs of the employees. They've all these years we've been below what we were earning 9 years ago in a city in the highest cost of living city in the country. I teach in the non-credit sector. I teach mostly immigrants who want to learn English and want to get ahead in our society. And I've seen at my site, the Mission Campus, that our coordinators told to close classes that are viable, that have 15 or 20 students. We can't have that. I see that our administration has a plan to continue downsizing community college education here in San Francisco. So I feel the unfair labor practice strike is a definite step that we're forced to do at this time.
When did their relationship with administration start to change?
It started to change right about when the ACC commission, the now disgraced commission that criticized and then wanted to close our college, when they arrived and, you know, they that's when an administration was imposed on the college. Finally, there was a state takeover, and we are pretty much have an administration that it's very, very difficult to work with.
And Rosario, you teach child development. You have been at CCSF since 1987. And why are you joining the strike today?
I'm joining the strike because I see that teachers are working a whole lot more these days. The workload has greatly increased since the ACCJC imposed requirements for things that aren't really serving our students. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm used to working hard. I've been working hard since I was 7 years old in the fields of the valley, the San Joaquin Valley. So I'm not opposed to hard work at all, but I'm opposed to doing things that don't serve our students, you know, that don't serve our children. I'd rather be at the center. In addition to teaching child development classes, I run one of the child development lab schools, so all those children couldn't come to school today. All those parents didn't have child care. They didn't have classes either, but some of them work also. So we've had to cut back services. We've had to cut back centers. When I first started, we had 12 child development centers. Right now we're down to two. Two.
So in 1987 you had 12, and now you have just two.
Now we have two. Right, right. So, and we've closed, three or four in the last 5 years, ever since the ACCJC attacks really started. So I just see that the teachers are doing a lot more paperwork, documentation work. I'm all for accountability, transparency, for really keeping track of how our work benefits the students and being able to document that. But more and more of my time is going towards learning new programs, learning new systems, and unfortunately, you know, what gets cut out is the face-to-face time with the students. Mm. And that's why I entered the field, is to have a connection with my students, to be able to serve the students, and to help them get along. Our child development classes are entry. I like to think of them as sort of gateway classes, because a lot of parents start classes. They start in the preschool, actually, and then they start taking some of our child development classes because they think maybe they'd like to be teachers. And because they don't know English, the majority of the parents that I've worked with before, both in Bernal Heights and in the Mission, then they start taking ESL classes and some of the business classes, and pretty soon they're on their way to an AA, and they didn't even think they were going to be going to college.
Hmm. How many students go to City College of San Francisco? Inside Higher Ed had about 90,000 back in 2012, but because of the economy and the accreditation and finances, the enrollment decreased to about 79,000. Is that right now?
Actually, it's even less than that now. It's about 65,000.
65,000?
Yeah, so it's been a tremendous decrease. You know, a lot of this, as Alan said earlier, and I think he's correct, you know, the accreditation crisis has really been was a key thing. And I think that, you know, as the struggle against the commission developed, it was very clear to people in the community and throughout the system now that what the union was saying from the very beginning about this commission, that they were out of control, is true. And that is why now the California Community College system as a whole is trying to get rid of the accreditor. They actually – and they voted to find a new accreditor because they do not meet the needs of the community college system. And this has been a long struggle. So, you know, we feel in our union that we have done – you know, we keep telling the truth about what's been going on. And it took a while for people to sort of get on to that the commission was the problem, not the college. And we have great educational quality. They never even questioned that. So that was critical. And so now the same thing is going on. We see this article, but it was in the newspaper where she claimed that what we were saying was false about the 26% cuts. You know, they brought this into negotiation, and so Susan Lamb can't have it both ways. She can't have it where she's telling, you know, the newspapers one thing and then she's telling the union in negotiation something else. That's just not right. And so we just keep going out there telling people what the truth is, all the distortions that telling us in this article that they were going to be giving us this big raise when, in fact, what they're doing is really wanting to give us a bonus, saying that restoring our salaries is actually an increase. It's really a raise. All these distortions, continue. The more people learn about it, they know that it's not true. And so the administration over the last several years really kind of playing by this commission playbook, this austerity playbook. This is really what's created the problem.
We reached out to CCSF administration. We also invited Chancellor Susan Lamb to join us. They said no one was available, but they gave us a statement. And so, to your point, in the statement they sent us, it says, last week, City College formally committed to its fact-finding position, which would increase all salaries by 7.19% over 2 years. It would also provide additional non-recurring payments of 2.68% every year for 2 years. And what we're hearing from you, and we're going to play some tape from Ocean Campus this morning in just a minute, is that faculty have been paid 3.5% less than what they were paid in 2007.
That's correct. And therefore, they're talking about restoring that money. That's part of what they're calling a raise. So, I mean, just think about it. Somebody takes $5 from you and then they take $5 from you, then they give you $10, and then you turn around and you say, well, you know, thanks for the $5. And they say, $5? I gave you $10. Mm-hmm. It's just not the way it works. And so, you know, for years we've suffered under this, and now they're trying to distort it and act like they're giving us a raise. It's not a raise when you restore somebody's salary to what it previously was.
What is the union calling for?
The union is calling for a 4% increase over 3 years, an increase above COLA and above the restoration. That is consistent with what other Bay Area faculty have been paid. And this in the state last year, it was just under it was like 3.97%. So what we're asking for is consistent with that. So we're not asking, and the salary increase we're asking for is not going to make us even one of the top paid in the Bay Area. It'll be more in the median, which historically we've been somewhat above, and that makes sense because we live in a very expensive area, as everybody knows. And
right.
So what has happened to the students and the faculty over the last several years, and the staff at City College as well, it's been this like perfect storm that has sort of working against us. Bad administration, accreditation crisis, and the combination of all that, and people not coming and low enrollment.
Today we're talking about the strike at City College of San Francisco. It's the first ever faculty unfair labor practice strike in the union's 3-decade history. And this morning, your call producer Laura Flynn interviewed a community member and 2 faculty members at the Ocean Campus.
My name's Ellen Conaway. I work in the Disability Services Office with students with learning disabilities. What brought me out is that we're currently working at 2007 wages, and what I think is fair is a 2% increase per year. Currently, the district is offering a restoration of money that was taken back in the last 5 years, which was 3.7%, and a COLA of about 1.5%, which is about 5-something. And then they're offering a bonus this year and next. But that money will disappear in 2 years. And so after 2 years, because that increase is a little over 5%, and most of it is restoration of what was both given back and taken, we will only be about 1.5% higher than 2007 wages. And that's wrong. This is a fabulous college. I've worked here almost 30 years. I love the school. I love the students. I love my colleagues. But it just isn't right to be that far off that in 8 years to have made that little a gain in wages.
My name is Greg Hamm. I'm a public librarian in San Francisco.
And what brought you out here today?
Supporting a fellow union. You know, if I, you know, I live in this neighborhood and I have heard a lot about the kind of struggles that teachers have undergone at City College, and I'm out here to support them as a fellow union person and a fellow worker.
My name is Amy McClanahan, and I teach math here at City College. I'm striking for a fair contract, and a contract now.
And what concerns you the most?
The fact that we may be losing teachers and that we're not getting a wage that's making it so people can live in this area. It's been demoralizing for the last few years to work here, and it just has to stop.
And thanks for that sound from Your Call producer Laura Flynn. She interviewed a community member and two faculty members this morning at the Ocean Campus. City College of San Francisco faculty are on strike today. Faculty and staff, as you heard, say that they're striking over an unfair contract and administration plans to lay off more than a quarter of the faculty and shrink classes by 26%. If you are a faculty member, student, or community member, if you work in the administration side, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this strike? Are you supporting it? What questions do you have? If you're a student or a former student, we'd love to hear from you also. What changes have you seen over the years at CCSF? What do you think about those changes? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Rosario, can you talk about what you're hearing from other teachers? Again, you've been at CCSF since 1987 teaching child development. What is it like, just in terms of CCSF teachers and faculty, trying to make ends meet and live in San Francisco at a time when it's one of the most, if not the most, expensive cities right now?
Well, I can speak to, a little bit faculty, but also some of the teachers who are in the Child Development Center or Lab School who are actually in another union. They're classified. They're considered classified. But it's been, we've all taken a hit, you know. And my teachers, for instance, and I do call them my teachers because I think we're a team at the Child Development Lab Center, they had to take a severe pay cut when we were scaled back from full-time operating, 12 months out of the year to school term only. School term only means that they are only paid for 186 days, I think, as opposed to 200 and something. So that happened right at the beginning of the ACCJC attacks. This is the only way I can feel them, you know. And so that was a severe sacrifice for them to make, I think, you know. So everybody's making at least 10 grand less a year. And I know that it's been very, very difficult for them.
What is it like for younger teachers?
Exactly. On a personal level, I can share that we were trying to hire recently, and somebody just recently declined a position because the salary was too low.
And it's very difficult, if not impossible, to find affordable housing.
Right, right. I had somebody at our center also who is a lab student trying to make ends meet. And, you know, she was in a homeless shelter. I've had two people associated, you know, with the center who have had to be, you know, who've had very challenging living situations because the rents are so high, there's so little availability, the amount of money that they're making is not really allowing them to cover all the expenses. And another one of our staff, very, very difficult during the times that they don't get paid because they don't get paid during winter session, they don't get paid during summer, they don't get paid, you know, at a lot of different times. And with faculty, well, you know, it's very hard to bring on new people. A lot of the people, from my experience, maybe in other departments not so much, but from what I've seen, it's hard to attract people who are willing to enter at this level with the amount of workload. So it's been a lot more work, a lot more frustration. And it's been hard also just on a general level to make changes. One of the things that many of the faculty and others at City College have been noticing is how hard it is for students to get enrolled. Tim referred to our lower numbers. I'm not sure why we can't figure out how to make enrollment easier. It doesn't seem like it should be rocket science. But enrollment has been an issue. I've heard many of my students say they can't get enrolled.
So they can't get the classes they want?
Right. They can't, you know, there's something in the system that isn't.
Yeah, there's been for years now massive problems with online registration. As a matter of fact, some of the board members themselves had said, you know, they'd heard about this and some of them went and tried to do it. And, you know, you can register for other colleges in other parts of the Bay Area. And they were kind of comparing, shopping and what it was like. And it was like it was really very difficult for them to do that. I just know in my own personal experience, my spouse had wanted to register for a class at City College. And it was like really difficult. And it was just a matter of me sort of like, you know, calling some people up and then, you know, helping us with certain questions that finally she was able to get registered in the class. It should not be that difficult. These are the kind of things that, just some administrative problems. I also wanted to address, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, younger faculty. Mm. You know, this is where the college, like, we talk about going in a different direction. There's no long-term thinking about what it will mean for the city as a whole if it does not pay competitive salaries, where you hear stories where somebody else can go across the bay who is very talented and work over there for more money. That is not a long-term way to think about how the college needs to do what it does. And so they need to come to grips with these questions and really think about them in a long, hard way. And they really haven't. And they really need to address those sort of concerns about how is that going to really work. Otherwise, it's going to mean you're going to have you're not going to be able to attract the high quality instruction that we've had for so many years. That the scorecards from the state chancellor's office show that we have done excellent work relative to other community colleges in the state. So we want to continue that for the people of San Francisco.
That is Union President Tim Killey Kelly, AFT 2121. Tim teaches political science. He's been at City College of San Francisco since 1997. Alan Fisher is former Union President, teaches English as a second language. He's been there for 35 years. Rosario Villasana teaches child development, and she has been there since 1987. City College of San Francisco faculty are on strike today. It is the first ever faculty unfair labor practice strike in the union's three-decade history. We did invite CCSF administration and Chancellor Susan Lamb to join us. They said they were not available, but they gave us a statement that is mostly about wages, and we will read one more section of their statement after the break, and we'd love to hear from you. What questions do you have about this strike, and what are your thoughts on how this is affecting education in San Francisco? We'll be back after this.
Your call on local public radio. There are lots of ways to take part in today's conversation. You can send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can dial toll-free 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. Coming up at 11 o'clock, from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say, at noon today. Ira Glass and This American Life.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with Gene Bauer, the president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary. Since 1986, Farm Sanctuary has been a refuge for rescued animals, including pigs, turkeys, sheep, and goats. And these animals will live free for the rest of their lives, never eaten or used for their milk and eggs. So how are Farm Sanctuaries changing hearts and minds about animals and the food we eat? And then on Friday, we are going to be joined by our very own Joe Burke. We hope you can join us for that and get your questions ready. I know the lines will be full on Friday. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, City College and San Francisco faculty are on strike. It is the first ever faculty unfair labor practice strike in the union's three-decade history. That's AFT 2121. We're joined today by the union's president, Tim Killey Kelly. He teaches political science. He's been a teacher at CCSF since 1997. Rosario Villasana teaches child development. She's been there since 1987. And Alan Fisher is a former union president, teaches English as a second language, and he's been there for 35 years. So they have all been at CCSF for a long time, and they've seen a lot of changes. And if you have been at CCSF as a student or a teacher or a member of administration, we'd love to hear from you, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We did invite administration and CCSF Chancellor Susan Lamb to join us. They said they were not available, but they gave us a statement. And we've got a number of calls on the line. Let's hear from Bill in San Francisco. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. I've taken classes at City College in the 90s and more recently in a number of different areas. My background before I became disabled is workforce development. And I wanted to ask either Tim or Alan or Rosaria how cuts at City College affect not only ESL for a number of students, I'm in the mission, but in terms of a student's ability to get the classes they need so that they can complete their programs.
Well, thank you. So again, one point of contention is that the administration plans to cut 26% of classes. Unfortunately, in the CCSF statement we received, there's no information about this. So can you tell us what is the justification behind this? How did they come up with this 26%?
They basically have what they've called, they're trying to, quote, align the program. And so, I mean, this is like the bad, it goes back to this bad long-term thinking. So the college has had a tremendous drop in enrollment because of the accreditation crisis, much more than the other Bay Area colleges. You know, community colleges, like the enrollment is a cyclical thing based upon the economy. When the economy gets worse, we actually get more students. When the economy gets better, people go back to work more and they take less classes. So that's part of it. So we've had a decline in enrollment in the Bay Area because of the economy over the last several years. That's part of what's happened. But City College's enrollment dropped super dramatically because of the accreditation crisis. So we are in a kind of a special situation with enrollment. So then instead of thinking about how they can develop the college and increase enrollment to get it back up after this kind of artificial accreditation crisis goes away, this manufactured crisis goes away, they're thinking they're going to have a plan to actually keep it at a level where that doesn't make sense for the city. Because the city has not decreased 26%. It's just this, it's the accreditation crisis that has played a huge role in what has gone on. And so that's the kind of like bad long-term thinking about meeting the needs of the community. They look at it in this very sort of narrow way, and they really need to be thinking about how they can grow the college back. Now, part of this is going to be when, you know, we next year – We hope everything goes well with getting our restoration status and our accreditation reaffirmed. We are currently accredited. All the classes count and for transfer and for credit. We still have a very vibrant non-credit program as well. When these things get settled, there's got to be a plan to grow the college back rather than a plan to cut the college. And that's where we're at with it compared to where the administration is.
And Alan, is there a time frame for this? And how would classes like the one that you teach, for example, English as a second language, be affected by this 26% cut?
Yeah, there's a lot of people on those picket lines this morning, and there are students, community, and faculty and staff together. And the reason people are out there on that picket line is supporting this unfair labor practice strike is because people understand that this administration has already downsized the college and is fully intends to continue this pattern of continuing to cut classes and deny people the education that they deserve. So it's as if the administration is saying to the faculty, well, you want to restore your salaries, and you even are asking for a hefty raise. Well, then how we're going to pay for it by denying students the classes, and we're going to lay off a quarter of you in order to pay for it. And we say when you have $60 million in the reserves, that's not appropriate. We can use those reserves to keep our program intact, and then we're going to look for ways down the road to increase the funding for our college. We know that the city board of supervisors is now considering a plan to make City College free for credit students. Actually, a lot of students do get the fee waivers, which is great, but they still have to live in a very expensive city and they have to pay for books. So it's still a great hardship for low-income students. So this kind of thinking of going to the city, going to the state for relief is something our administration apparently is not interested in. And so we're calling for more imagination from our administration. And, I want to say that a lot of the policies of this administration has resulted in losing students. There's been push-out policies, changes to payment procedures and closing the Civic Center campus and not distributing the course schedules. You know, all these things have shown an unwillingness to rebuild our college.
Well, and in the statement from CCSF Chancellor Susan Lamb, it says, quote, "The strike may dissuade new students from registering by playing into fears regarding the stability of the college and its ongoing educational programs," end quote.
The administration, Tim, if they want to have stability at the college, could come and not have bad faith practices. They could not be writing distorting articles in the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that they could be doing to create stability for the college. Believe me, there's nothing more that the faculty and the students at City College want more than having stability at the college as we go forward.
Rosario?
I was also going to say, be proactive. You know, we lost some students when the news media said that we were already disaccredited. You know, there's been so much misinformation that's been put out there that it's been very confusing. And a couple of years ago, at almost all of my classes, I had to reassure students, yes, you can continue to come. Yes, your units are going to count. Yes, you're going to be able to finish your degrees. So nothing was done back then to get rid of that misperception. And I do think with regards to the caller's question about classes, it's hard to staff all the to get faculty to teach at all the campuses. So I know, for instance, that there's been at least one student who has to run from one campus to another to be able to finish, get all the classes that they need, because we just don't have enough faculty to teach at all the campuses to be able to provide that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is is that I don't know the exact number, but I think we've lost about 100 faculty in the last couple of years. So we're down numbers in terms of full-time faculty.
Yeah, and again, in 2012, you had 90,000 students, and now you have 65,000 students.
Right.
Alan, you mentioned Free City College, and Supervisor San Francisco Supervisor Jane Kim brought up this proposal. She has yet to introduce legislation, but it's contingent upon getting a measure on the November ballot in San Francisco, and it would increase transfer taxes on commercial and residential buildings that sell for more than $5 million. And so if voters pass this measure, then she can introduce the legislation?
Yeah.
And how would that affect the budget for CCSF?
Well, it would absolutely help our budget to have more students enroll because the growth of the college helps get more funding from Sacramento. And we see in our society a growing inequality all over. And the notion that, properties worth more than $5 million get taxed a bit more is really not. I think the public would support that.
Tim.
Yes, I also wanted to say that, the proposal that the Free City College, this is a proposal, variations of it have been out there already. President Obama has talked about free community colleges or programs in Oregon, Tennessee, Los Angeles, San Diego have talked about this. And the idea of the program overall is to increase educational opportunities for lots of people who for whatever reason, they would now take more classes at the community colleges, and we would increase people's skill levels and for job training or for other kind of cultural enrichment, other things that community colleges are there for as well. And we do think it would increase enrollment, but we know it's going to increase educational opportunities for more people. And the way we look, we're educators. If everybody around us is more educated, like, we benefit. That's the way the world is. The more people who are getting more education, it benefits all of us. It doesn't just benefit that individual. It benefits the whole community. And that's our view, and that's why we think that this is such a great program.
Tim Kilikelly is president of the American Federation of Teachers 2121. He's been teaching political science at the City College of San Francisco since 1997. Rosario Villasana has been teaching child development since 1987. Alan Fisher is a former union president. He's been teaching English as a second language for 35 years. And faculty, students, and supporters are on strike today. We invited CCSF administration and Chancellor Susan Lamb. They couldn't join us, but they gave us a statement. And we've got a number of callers. Let's try to go through as many as we can. Let's hear from Larry in Berkeley. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for this wonderful program. And this is Larry Bensky with my annual call to your show.
Oh, hi, Larry.
Hi. I've been a teacher at Cal State East Bay, as I think you know, for the last 25 years, and we've gotten many students, of course, from CCSF who've transferred there over the years, and we just won a statewide job action, our union did, winning all of our demands through union solidarity. So we're certainly in solidarity with you people who are on strike today at CCSF. My question is, the elephant that should be in the room here has barely been mentioned, I think, once in passing. You have an elected board of trustees for CCSF in San Francisco. We didn't have that in our state college system, and they certainly don't have it in the UC system. Where are they in all this? I don't hear them mentioned. I don't see anything online about them. They're the elected representatives of the people of San Francisco. They should be supporting you. Where are they?
Well, let me a little history here is important. So in 2012, when the show cause order from the commission occurred, they brought in somebody who was a special trustee. And they were advising the college at that point, and they had some power over the college, but it was more advisory with some veto power over certain things. Then when in 2013, when the disaccreditation decision came in, that's when there was a complete state takeover. And for those of you not familiar with the title, it's a little gallows humor here. The title is called a special trustee with extraordinary powers. I know it sounds like something out of Star Wars, but that's kind of the world we've been living in at City College. And so they took over and had complete authority. So, in fairness to the elected board, They still have, they only recently have gotten back their power. And I do think they need to step up more. They really do need to. I think the circumstances they've been dealing with have been difficult. But they do need to step up. They do need to meet the needs of the community. They need to understand what's going on. And they need to not keep playing from the playbook of the special trustee who is still there as an advisor. And this who was also only recently a special trustee. He was also a special trustee with extraordinary powers. They've got to stop listening to these folks, and they've got to start listening to the community that elected them. And I do think that that's going to be a critical thing. And I think this, they're coming out of this bizarro world situation. And so we're hoping that the board is going to come to its senses. We have always supported having the elected board back. We were one of the critical, that was one of our critical demands. We want the elected board. And because we understand that they're going to understand the needs of the community more than this special trustee with extraordinary powers who is telling everybody what to do, not from the community.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Larry. Let's go next to Valerie, who's calling from the Ocean Campus. Hi, Valerie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. This is Lisa, actually.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Valerie had to step aside.
Okay.
I'm a City College of San Francisco student as well as a union member from OPTI. Union of Professional Technical Employees, CWA Local 91119, who is also in solidarity with the AFT 2121. As a student, I would like to mention something that is really, really important. I am forever grateful to the American Federation of Teachers 2121 for having stopped the ACCJC on its tracks with the fact-finding information that was put forth by the previous president of the AFT 2121 in a report called the ACCJC Gone Wild, which later on became part of the information, became part of the legal challenge that the attorney of San Francisco presented, and it further discredited the ACCJC for its biased evaluations and imposing funding priorities that go against the history and the scope and the mission and the needs of the community of San Francisco Bay Area. I am a City College student who has been going to school and has been able to go to school as a working adult, taking one or two courses at a time to be able to get my BA degree in the near future. And if not for the excellent qualifications of the teachers, in what industry would a PhD graduate teacher be getting 2007 or less than 2007 wages? Mm. In what industry would we're talking about not only PhD teachers, but also teachers that are incredibly dedicated to their students and who work long hours and who are excellent. I mean, in reality, I feel that the San Francisco Bay Area and San Francisco is indebted to the teachers of City College for having saved our college from the attacks from basically the privatization forces.
And Valerie, we're almost out of time, but can you just give us a quick picture? What does it look like there at Ocean Campus, and what are you hearing from the students?
There's hundreds of supporters here from different areas, teachers, students, and also other union members. I'm sorry, my name is Lisa, and from UPTI, there's union members, and there's supporters from community organizations, the Chinese Progressive Association. It's incredible. It's incredible mass of people here at Ocean, and we're going to be converging at 12 noon at Civic Center Rally, and then coming back here because these pickets are going to continue until 7:30 p.m. And I also want to mention that this Sunday, May 1st, the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union Workers are going to be holding a May Day rally at 400 North Point from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I'm mentioning this because we union members and workers have to stick together to fight these privatization forces that are destroying our communities, destroying our education.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. That's Lisa calling in from the Ocean Campus. And if you tuned in late, Lisa mentioned that 3.5% number. So teachers say that they are being paid 3.5% less than the year 2007, than what they were paid back in 2007. So I just wanted to repeat that in case you missed it. Thank you for calling in, Lisa. And let's go next to Sarah, who also has a question about salaries. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. I just wondered what... for those of you that have taught for, say, 30 years, what are you making? I mean, I've been worked for the state. I'm a professional and have been in my profession for 30 years, and our salaries are public. What do you make an hour?
Well, I'm not sure about an hour, but because it varies depending on what kind of load it is. But average would be around $75,000-$77,000 for most of the faculty that I know. And, you know, all of this is public information. It is on the Internet. You're welcome to browse through.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer for the state. I make $65 an hour.
Something very important is that most of the faculty are part-timers and make under $40,000 a year for about a 60% or slightly higher load, and they can't afford. Some of them have second and third jobs. They're going all over trying to put piece together living. Extremely difficult for the majority of the faculty.
Yeah, it's like your question is a good question, but it is sort of, you know, it depends on what you're, you know, comparing. So full timers or part timers and what their salaries are. So it gets complicated in terms of what would be the median, things like that.
And in terms of morale, I'd like to add that I'm grateful to the union for having negotiated equity in payment, because there was a move just recently to have different salary scales for part-timers and full-timers. And as a full-time faculty, I mean, I was part-time for 17 years before I became full-time. So
was that by choice?
Partly, but no, not really. Hmm. Just couldn't get a full-time position. A lot of people who get full-time positions are part-timers for many, many years before there's finally an opening. It's an artificial divide. I know that, you know, we work together hand in hand, and everybody deserves equity.
And for full timers, do you get benefits?
Yes, full timers get benefits, and not all of our part timers get benefits, but many of them do, depending upon how long they've been there. And
is it safe to assume that the money that you're spending on health care and other things have gone up over the years?
Tremendously.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a problem. That's a society-wide problem that we all see in terms of costs for health care. Yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you for calling in. Let's go next to Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I hope I can make sense out of this briefly, and it's this. It seems to me that the entire – I mean, I don't want to get off the subject of City College, but it seems to me the entire educational system in the state of California has been under pressure, and this kind of activity for years now. I mean, we used to be ranked as the best educational system in the country, and now we're I don't know where we are in terms of the rankings. But it seems to me there's an analogy here. I was wondering why, if we have Democrats in office up in Sacramento, we can't get rental repeal of the Costa-Hawkins bill, etc. So I'm trying to figure out. Why is it that these people aren't doing what they're doing? Is it just negligence? What are they?
Yeah.
And I think what I think it really is there really is some commitment to take this down to the bottom. This is a race to the bottom, and you're a part of it.
Yes, I'd like to say that the community college system in California is the largest in the country, and it has gone from about 2.9 million students down to 2.1 million students over the last several years. And there has been pressure in the state legislature to implement all kinds of push-out policies on students. And this effort has been led to a great degree by the Fortune 500 Business Roundtable. Wells Fargo is one of them. For-profit companies school education companies, and who've had a tremendous amount of influence in the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. It is an attack on public education. It's a desire to re-engineer it so that the corporate, students headed for the corporate workforce are prioritized, which is important. We do that too, but to cut out a lot of the other things that benefit our communities.
We have a related email from James, who's a community advocate in San Francisco. He says, can you talk about the wave of newcomers sent here from Wall Street and developers who are not from the area? How much influence do they have on what's happening right now?
Well, I mean, the way I look at it of what's happened to us, we've had this kind of like perfect – I've used this term before. We've had this perfect storm, right? So we've had all these – we've had a lot of people in the, you know, the tech industry in particular have come in, and there is the city did not have very good plans for housing. So then they end up having this gentrification problem, squeezing people out who've been here, and the people who are already in their places already there. You know, nobody can move even if they want to for whatever reasons because they're nervous about the rent is going to be so high. And then on top of that, we've had these, you know, the commission has come in and we've had salary cuts. So the combination is a sort of like perfect storm of, that has really worked against working people. And it's working against the students too. I mean, the students, how do they live here? I mean, the stories I hear of students, you know, they'll, The amount of roommates that people have and, all the issues that are involved with it. This is the stories I'm constantly hearing from the students about roommate issues and having so many different people having to just try to eke out an existence here. It's really difficult. All these things have kind of come together in a way that leads us to this day, really. Mm. That leads us to the day where we have to say enough. And we're going on strike.
So you're saying enough. You're on strike today. We have about 30 seconds left. What's next after this? Rosario.
Hopefully improved relationships between administration and the union. I think that they need to realize that faculty is the union. You know, we are. And we need to have our voice heard. We need to have our needs met. And everybody that I know is really looking out for the students. You know, we want to make sure that our students get the best education that they can. I, for personally, want to see my preschoolers come back and be graduates. You know, that's my goal. And we have had that, thank goodness. You know, we have had that.
Well, we will definitely continue to follow this issue. That's Rosario Villasana. She has taught child development at CCSF since 1987. Alan Fisher is a former union president. He teaches English as a second language. He's been teaching for 35 years. And Tim Killikelly is the current union president. He's been teaching political science since 1997. Tim, Rosario, and Alan, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with Gene Bauer, the president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary. Since 1986, Farm Sanctuary has been a refuge for rescued animals, cows, pigs, chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, sheep, and goats. These animals will live free for the rest of their lives, never eaten or used for their milk or eggs. So how are Farm Sanctuaries changing hearts and minds about animals and the food we eat? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show. Malihe Razazan is senior producer. Matt Martin is executive producer. And Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.